Hi, and welcome back to Convergently Speaking. This week, what I want to talk about is the Myers-Briggs personality system and how it relates to romantic relationships. I'm actually planning to do 4 episodes on this topic, and this will be number 1. I want to start this episode by talking about Caitlin and my 10th wedding anniversary celebrations we had a few days back. Being parents of a young family of 3 kids, we haven't actually had a chance to go away together as a couple in 7 years or more since our first kid was born. So for the last few months, or maybe even longer than a few months, Caitlin has been pulling some plans together with saving some money and organizing some babysitters to be able to go away for 24 hours to celebrate our anniversary. So I'm sure you're wondering what we did. Well, in short, we didn't do very much. We hired a hotel room for the night. We were meant to go see a band play, but that was cancelled. And so we went out for dinner, went out for some dessert, and had a moderately late night. And then, of course, we slept and slept and slept some more. We didn't get up early the next day and go out exploring and do a whole heap of touristy things in our own city that we never get a chance to do. Not that there would have been anything wrong with that, but that's not what either of us are inclined to do. Instead, as I said, we slept in, we did a bit of shopping, did a few odd jobs, and eventually found ourselves up in the Adelaide Hills, sitting in the grassy area of one of the local libraries up there, and we read some books. And for us, it was pure heaven. Quality time together, nice, quiet, and relaxing day. Now, the reason this worked for us and why at this point in our life we're not ashamed to spend our time off in this sort of way or give in to the pressure of quote-unquote what you're meant to do on holidays or on your time off is because we both know that we're introverts. And introverts, unlike extroverts, look at holidays and time off completely different. So what has this story got to do with the Myers-Briggs personality system and its relationship to romantic relationships? Well, you see, as you may or may not know, if you've had some exposure to the Myers-Briggs system, is that every personality type can be reduced into a 4-letter code or a list of 4 letters that represent a part of the personality. So what I want to do is for each one of these 4 episodes, I want to focus on one of the 4 dichotomies that you come across in Myers-Briggs. So these 4 dichotomies are introvert or extrovert, intuitive or sensor, thinker or feeler, or perceiver or judger. So for today, the dichotomy I want to speak about and how it relates to romantic relationships is introvert versus extrovert. For myself and Caitlin, in a sense where we're blessed or lucky that within our 2 personality types, we don't have a tension point here. So we're both introverts, and therefore we both prefer, in the instance I'm talking about, holidays, a quieter, more easygoing, relaxing type of a holiday. However, if, for example, one of the 2 of us was an extrovert, then it would be a very, very different scenario, and there would be some expectations that would need to be managed and, you know, really good and clear communication about how to approach holidays, but also many other aspects of life. Now, I just want to say up front, neither approach is right or wrong. Neither is superior or inferior. This is simply, it's essentially a temperamental difference. And also why I say that Caitlin and I are lucky that we don't have a tension point in here, in this part of our two personalities. This also creates weaknesses. So like everything, there's pluses and minuses. So when it comes to relationships, I've actually observed that this difference in a couple's personality types is one of the most substantial. Because for most of us, without realizing, we assume others to be like ourselves or generally similar to us. So for the extrovert who comes home from a long day of work, the natural impulse will be to want to go out and see some friends, do something in the outside world, and that will feel like a fun use of their time, but also a productive use of their time. I actually had a friend recently who posted on social media asking if anyone was up to anything that night, because they didn't want to let a child-free night go to waste. And that makes perfect sense for an extrovert. In general terms, for an extrovert to sit at home and quote-unquote do nothing, yeah, it feels like a waste of time. Now, for us introverts, that sounds like pure heaven. A night at home with no kids? Oh, I can drink tea and watch Netflix all night long. Once again, neither is wrong. It's not wrong to want to go out and have a good time, and it's not wrong to enjoy your own company. The issue comes when we don't understand this dichotomy and we don't understand our partner's preference. And I've heard this time and time again from couples where the extrovert wants to go out and have some fun and do things and can't understand why their introverted partner just wants to stay at home and be boring. Or on the flip side, the introvert feels like their extroverted partner is just constantly always forcing them to go out and to be social and to interact with large groups of people when it's been a big week and all they want to do is lie under a rug and recuperate. And this can be a real, real tension point. And without understanding what's going on, it can create, at best, both parties or at least one party not fully operating in their strengths and therefore being regularly worn down or slightly depressed and exhausted. And at worst, it can be the end of a marriage or a relationship. When the extrovert doesn't make space for the introvert to take time and recuperate without getting personally offended that their partner's not spending time with them. Or on the flip side, when the introvert is constantly shaming their extroverted partner for partying too much or even just pushing them too hard to be like them. I've known of couples where there's a clear understanding about this dynamic, and the introvert understands that extroverted partner needs to go out and see people, or maybe not even see people, but just go out and do something, because extroversion's not purely tied to interacting with people, it's about interacting with the outside world. And their partner understands that, hey, my introverted partner will come sometimes, but sometimes I'll go alone, and that's all right. Maybe the introvert comes along just to the smaller, more intimate dinner dates or that kind of thing, dinner parties, and they skip the big loud parties. Or maybe they make an arrangement when, you know, the introvert just comes one out of every two times. The fundamental difference here between introverts and extroverts is their orientation. For an extrovert, their orientation is the outside world, the outer world. That feels more real to them. That feels more intriguing and exciting for them. Whereas for an introvert, the inner world feels more real. The inner world feels like a safe solace and a place where they can explore and wander and be quite content. They don't need anything externally to them necessarily to be happy and content and find their centeredness. I suppose it's also good at this point to acknowledge that we all exist on a spectrum when it comes to these things. On a continuum, we all fall at a different point between introversion and extroversion. For example, I have some pretty strong introverted impulses, which I think was partly nurtured or created by growing up as an only child. But compared to some folks, I seem really extroverted. I'm obviously still fairly outspoken and talkative. I'm quite social, not extremely social, but reasonably social. And so for some, they found it confusing to see me as an introvert. And yet if you put me in a large room, a group of people, I will naturally move to the edges and probably spend the evening just talking one-on-one to the same person for most of the night. I love people and I love interacting, but I'm not really a crowds person. So yeah, there's all sorts of different flavors and different nuances between the two, but for the sake of this podcast, I'm just using the two broad categories of introvert versus extrovert. So as I said, I think this is one of the biggest differences that two people can have in a relationship. I also think it's one of the issues that can be most easily resolved with a bit of education, a bit of understanding, and a bit of empathy. Once you start to understand and acknowledge that your partner is, in this one area, fundamentally wired differently, you can start to do deeper listening to what their needs are, and understand what those things are and start to adapt your routines and schedule to nurture those needs. So for you extroverts out there, I encourage you, don't just assume on a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday that you and your partner are going to be socializing every evening and all through the day you're going to be in the garden fixing and repairing and doing jobs and generally being out in the real world doing extroverted things. Rather ask them. Say, what ratio should we have this weekend of going out and just chilling and taking it easy? Maybe we have the family over for one evening on the weekend and then the other evening we have a bit quieter. Or you stay home on the other evening and I go out and catch up with my mates. And in contrast to this, if you're an introvert, then you need to realize and acknowledge that your extroverted partner has a real and valid need to connect, to go out and about. And if they're home on their own too much or they're having too much solitary time, they're actually not going to be the healthiest expression of who they are. They're not going to be as happy and content in themselves. So releasing them and freeing them to go out and do what they need to do, which of course requires some trust that while you're at home, they're not going to go out and spend all your money or have an affair or whatever, but actually going, no, that they want to go out not because they want to run away from me, but rather this is something they need to do. And whilst it might be your impulse to perpetually stay home, to consider how often can I join them? Or maybe I could join them for half the night. Which I think leads me quite naturally into my last point about this. In addition to good and clear communication, if you and your partner are different on this dichotomy, that one of you is an extrovert and one is an introvert, it's really important that you try and find some flexibility. I personally believe that we're, as humans, quite resilient, and I do believe that there's some flexibility and adaption within these impulses. So introverts that have a particularly reclusive bent or impulse can actually learn and grow and stretch themselves to get out a bit more. And probably it's actually going to be really healthy. And likewise, just because extroverts may not like to spend big chunks of time on their own, it doesn't mean that that's not a good and healthy thing. Now, they might not want to do a 10-day silent Vipassana retreat, but a couple of days on retreat with their partner in some kind of a guided, structured way could be really good, could be really positive. So if you're an extrovert and you're together with an introvert, or you're an introvert who's together with an extrovert, I want to tell you that there is hope if you're struggling. But more than that, it can actually be a beautiful and vibrant dynamic once you work out the natural rhythms of your relationship in this regard. But also, there's no reason to think of this as a second-rate dynamic to both being introverts or both being extroverts. There are all sorts of positives to having this difference. It may be challenging to navigate, but there's all sorts of positives, because introverts have particular strengths and extroverts have particular strengths. And so in the context of the larger relationship, it actually means there's less gaps in, let's say, the practicalities of doing life and doing it well. Caitlin and I might not have many tension points around this, but we regularly are aware of a lack of industriousness of sorts that comes with neither of us having that extroverted impulse as our primary part of our personality. So yeah, a lack of industriousness or difficulty getting things done in the outside world, or maybe just a lack of an impulse to get things done, because for introverts, the inner world is more comforting or more of the default, is one challenge or downside that can come when you have two people in a relationship that are both introverted. For example, had Caitlin been an extrovert, and when we're on our little getaway, she had some plan or gave me a kick to go out and do something, just because I'm an introvert, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. She could have given me a little push in a direction to have a new experience or exciting memories that due to us both being introverts, we didn't pursue. We all need to exist in the outside world and in our inner world. And so when there are relationships where one partner's introverted and one partner's extroverted, as I've already spoken about, there's some tension points. But there's a beautiful dynamic that occurs in those relationships where essentially the extrovert kicks the introvert to get out and do stuff, embody their life, be more present to their surroundings. And on the flip side, when you have an introvert married to an extrovert, you can have this dynamic where the introvert teaches the extrovert something about the value of the inner journey and walking and taking care of one's inner terrain. So then, as you've probably already worked out, when you have two extroverts, you have a couple that can get a lot of stuff done. They really embody their life. They're present to their life. Often, not always, but depending on the extrovert, they're going to be more present to the moment, more in the here and now, just having fun, having a good time. It's not all fun, you know, they could be here and now getting stuff done. Just really good at interacting with and manipulating the outside world. The downside comes when you have two extroverts is that burnout can settle in, or disillusionment, or working hard and pursuing things that aren't actually helpful or in line for the individuals because they haven't actually taken the time to go inside of themselves and see what values and what passions and what gifts they have. So in a couple where there's two extroverts, you don't have that same counterbalance measure at work where one party, where the introverted party can help the extroverted party focus and take a breath. To use an old cliche, step back and smell the roses. And so they can be phenomenally productive and just a really fun couple to be around. But without that counterbalancing dynamic, they can fall into overwork or manic doing and never stopping and taking a time to rest and recuperate. Now, resting and recuperating doesn't necessarily mean going into a room on your own and reading a book like maybe an introvert would want to do. But it just means slowing down. It just means operating in a more mindful way. I mean, it could be reading a book and it could be meditating, but it might be just a casual and relaxed meal with a few friends, or even just taking 20 minutes out for a coffee just to settle and clear one's head. So whilst on the surface there might be less relational tension points between a double introvert couple or a double extrovert couple, don't be fooled. There are still quite real and potentially quite significant challenges to that couple dynamic and things which need to be, you know, firstly understood and then worked through and discussed so that both parties are on the same page. So that's all I have for today. I hope you found this helpful, and I'm looking forward to sharing the next episode about dichotomies as they relate to relationships with you all very soon. You've been listening to Convergently Speaking. Have a good day.